This sermon did not come to me as easily as the first, because I kept feeling like I was pushed back from one side to the other, from one idea to the next to the next. I don't know if that's common because it's only the second one I've written, but I truly prayed that God would touch people's hearts and minds, and that I would truly have the mind of God, and what each person that would hear this would receive from heaven, what they need to move forward. The title of this sermon is The Red Phone. Anyone that's been around long enough would know of the cliche stereotype of the red phone in the military, the direct line to the head of command. This originated actually back in around 1963, but it actually had little to do with the head of command, but it was actually a direct line between U.S. and Russia. They would have no interference. They would have no go-between, but it was direct communication. And since then, the stereotype has grown and grown and grown. And at the time, it really wasn't even actually a phone, which is why I say more communication than a phone, because it was actually just an encrypted teletype, not even truly what they would consider a computer today. It was more, a little more than a glorified telegraph. But either way, the idea for where I'm going still holds true, and that is that when we pray to God, there's some people, and even myself at times, that treat it more like an emergency line. The case of last resort. When all else fails, when I can do nothing more myself, then finally I'll lay hold of God, because he can rescue me, because now I'm in a pickle. But the truth is, the God we serve in heaven is not so impersonal. He's actually far more like a father to a child, or even, dare I say, a parent waiting to hear from their child the first time they go off anywhere, eagerly awaiting the opportunity to speak with him, or like a spouse to another. I know myself, in writing this, I thought of my relationship with my own wife, and that I rarely dare even think of a day that I wouldn't at least talk to her. That's because of the intimate relationship spouses have. And even more so, it could even be more like the desire that God would have for us, is it could even be more like the two young friends, even the two young girlfriends, dare we say, that talk all the time. Because his desire for us is not to be the red phone that is rarely used, but rather that God has intended it to be a consistent relationship day in and day out through big matters and small, not just the emergencies. In the Bible, God's people are referred to as the bride of Christ. And that was part of what brought me back to my own relationship. But I know that the God that I serve, he's also like a father. Because a father or a mother to their children, there's little limit to the love that they have for them, as well as the relationship and the closeness and intimacy they desire to have with them. Nothing brings a smile to my face faster than as soon as I would get home and my girls would run up to me, ready for a hug, a kiss, or some random story of the day. Because the truth is, God is actually interested in our day-to-day, not just the emergency problems. And the question is, sometimes, are we concerned with his day-to-day as much as our own? In the past year, there has been a lot that has gone on. But namely, there's been with the coronavirus, there's been an isolation that has come that has separated even our earthly relationships with one another, that has strained them even from parents or grandparents to grandchildren, more so than it has before. It hasn't, wouldn't be as bad as it could have been because of technology. But nevertheless, there's many people that are left isolated and alone. And we can see in the statistics that that's led to an increase in depression and even suicide. But if we were to maintain that relationship with God on high, the Bible would tell us in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He didn't say just your emergencies. He didn't say just the big ones. He said, let your requests. And I know for my children, if they want something, I'm sure they'll ask. Because they know I'm a good father that loves and delights in the opportunity to not only have that relationship with them, but to fulfill what they need. There may be a point for all these people that feel isolated and alone. They must go somewhere when they're fearful. The problem is not that they're simply fearful, but where they go with that fear. Some of them might run to a friend who many times can just amplify the problem. They could run to Facebook and have a whole slew of people amplify their problem. They could run to the news and find new problems, or even the radio for some. And again, no real solutions to be found. And dare I say, no real solutions to be found in anywhere in social media or any of these other false relationships, which is how God has designed us to want to desire a relationship. And all this all just leads to more questions and more fear for these type of people, which any of these type of people one day can be me or you. So the question is where do we go from here? And I first would like to look at briefly the character of God, because we first must understand his character to understand why he would desire so much to be a part of what we are on this earth that he created. And the first question I think of when wanting to answer that, as far as what his character is why would an eternal God allow his son to die for us? Why would he do that? Anyone in the right mind would think, even just for a moment, would say it must be worth it. The truth is because he chose that it was, and that we were of incredible value. And that was because of his unending love towards us that he stretches out towards everybody. And in that, Jesus died on the cross because he had to. It was the only opportunity, the only way to satisfy the law which God himself had commanded, that he had put in place. Because he does not change, that's one of his characters. And that's one of the reasons why we can have confidence in him, knowing that he does not change. And speaking of this blood to cover our sins, in Hebrews 12:24, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than Abel. This is talking about Jesus fulfilling all that was wrapped up in the law. And he was the one that made it possible that we could have that direct communication with God, that red phone, that we could speak to him without an interpreter, without a go-between. Because in the Old Testament, you couldn't speak to God directly. You had to go through the high priest to atone for your sins, to say you're sorry, to repent. All things had to go through the priest, and something had to die to restore that relationship. Because right from the beginning, our relationship was quickly severed. All the way back to the garden, if we look that far. As soon as the first sin was committed, no longer was there a direct relationship. Because of the first human beings, Adam and Eve, Adam was able to walk with God almost, well, not almost, literally as if we were walking hand in hand one to another. God designed us to desire that relationship, and God has made a way for us, even now, thousands of years later, to have that relationship with him. So Jesus himself had become the interceder, or the one to intercede for us, the mediator on our behalf. As it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, but now in Christ Jesus, who once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And in 14, for he himself, in his own peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. This wall of separation is what used to prevent the communication between God and man from happening directly. And this is part of what we see in society today. We have many, many people that are simply disconnected between one another and all the more from God. When we start to understand the value that God has on us, we can have a glimpse to understand the value that God has on other people. Because if we truly understood how much value the person next door, your neighbor, your brother, your mother, your sister, your daughter, your son, your grandson, your granddaughter, if we truly understood how valuable they were to God, we would start to be compelled ourselves for their well-being. And with all this COVID, dare I say COVID experience, because I pray that it's done soon, the truth is that on a daily basis, another person is likely to die. Another person that will not have another opportunity to hear and respond to God. Another person that will have no more opportunity to repent, to come in relationship with God himself, to know who he is. And that's what it all comes down to as far as what Jesus paid for on the cross, was that we could restore that relationship. And that we could restore that line of communication with God. For each of us, I dare say, I'm myself included, that I don't pray for my loved ones quite the way that I have thought about over the past few days. So much so that it would nearly bring me to tears to contemplate it. God is an interesting God, because he desires a relationship with an imperfect people, even though he is 100% unchanging and perfect. It's something in the computer world, it's like mixing two totally different operating systems. They don't blend, they don't compute. But that's only because we don't yet comprehend what he sees in us. But there will be a day that we will have that opportunity, but it won't be on this earth. Each of us should be compelled to lay hold of God and intercede for others. Part of our love toward God would be also showing our love toward those other people. Because we would not stop at our grocery list, so to speak, when we pray. But rather we would pray fervently. When it comes down to the end of all of this, we must first look at, or rather lastly look at, if I asked you a question, how would you pray differently if you knew today was your last day? Or your last week? Or your last year? Or the last time that you would ever see your loved ones? Because we don't get the opportunity to choose the day or the time or the hour that is our last. We only get each day that we're given as we go, because we're not promised the next. We all know that, if you've been here very long, that the Bible tells us of these things. But we must go one step further, because it's not all just about us. We know that this world is in the ninth inning, to take a baseball quote, or the last quarter for a football quote, or the last round for a boxing quote. We know there's not much time left, even though we don't have the opportunity to see the time clock on the scoreboard. So it should affect the way that we conduct ourselves, the way we pray, the way we act out and live out our lives. I believe everyone that is a Christian would be compelled, if they can hear from God. Because God's the one that's been telling us and showing us that we are at the end, we're at the final hour, we're at the last lap. The question is, what will we do with that remaining time that we have? Because that time is indeterminate, but it is short. So one more question, the same as I asked just a moment ago, is how would you do something differently today if you could live it over again, if you knew it was your last? I'm not saying quit your job and run off down the road, however that is appropriate for those that get sent out. But that is far more planned. But I am saying is through the actions that we take day to day, we choose to show where we place value. And was that value on some random video on your phone where you completely ignored someone throughout the day? Or was that value on some game where you did that rather than pray? Was that value and that time spent on any number of other things that otherwise we would deem a waste of our time and not profitable? I know this is one of the things where taking an account of the way we have spent our time can change our perspective. Because when we take an account and you actually have to weigh it out, all of a sudden things become more real. It's no different than the first time you actually record all your expenses to track your budget. Your checkbook will show you where you spend your most time, where the money is, that's where you're most vested in. And in the same way with time and with the prayer, because God, He does desire to have a personal relationship with each one of us. And thank God that he has made a way that each of us can have that direct line with him. No in between, but yet direct. And even with Jesus himself there on our behalf, if we have received him as our Savior. And thankfully, he is eagerly waiting to hear from anyone that would open their mouth and lift their voice. And there's a difference between lifting your voice and opening your mouth and staying there quietly. I won't speak for everyone else, but for me, that's a good way to fall asleep while I'm trying to pray. Guilty as charged. It's okay to laugh, honey. So in closing, simply, what would we do different? And for anyone else that is not yet a Christian, which means that you have accepted Jesus' forgiveness for you, you have an opportunity here tonight to receive that very same forgiveness, to restore that same relationship with each and everyone that would ask. Now, I'm just going to take just a moment or two more of your time. For each person watching, if you could bow your heads, I have just a little bit more to communicate, to preach, to tell you. The God in heaven that I serve loves every single human being. He doesn't agree with everyone's decisions that they make, because sin, which is simply not doing or following the laws which he himself has set up, separates us. It hurts us, and it hurts others. But we don't need to die with that guilt and shame and separation, because we can be forgiven today. Every person has guilt in their mind, especially if you're not saved. Even people that are saved, I know this might be a surprise, but even they make mistakes. They sin sometimes. And the loving Father in heaven that I know, as I said a few moments ago, eagerly awaits the opportunity to forgive you your sins, if only you would ask. Because the Bible says to all that would call upon his name, repent, which means to turn away from their sin, which means to do it no more, and to believe him, because he died on the cross and rose again so that we could be saved. And for each of you, it's the same. He died for you too. He loves you more than you could know. And you have an incredible value. This is not the end of life here. Not yet. Just as in the parable of the lost sheep, where the shepherd goes out, leaves the 99 to find the one, that's God's heart towards each of us. He gladly goes out to seek us, to draw us. Some of these things you may say, how could he possibly know? I don't. I'm simply trusting that God would use my words to touch hearts through the internet and even through people here. That he would touch hearts and set them free. No more burden of sin, that they would be set free. Because that's the way that he wanted us. To not be bound by sin, but to be free from it. So if you want to be saved, that you want to receive that forgiveness Raise your hand wherever you are right now. Even if I can't see you, I know God does. And you can say a simple prayer of repentance that God would honor. And it could be as simple as, forgive me, for I'm a sinner. Thank you for Jesus dying on the cross for me and raising again on the third day that I could be forgiven. Come into my life and help me live for you. And if you prayed that prayer, he honors it immediately. It's not like you got to mail it in and get it later. But now to Christians, to backsliders, sometimes we might think that we're doing well with our relationship, but yet we haven't really recognized or realized how much that it wasn't where it should be. I'm not here to judge what amount of prayer is right for one or another. I know I could always use more. But you can hear God calling you and saying, I want a closer relationship with you. And the way that is obtained is by going to where we know God is. We know we find him when we pray. We find him in his word. And we find him in church, which is one of the particularly difficult things this coronavirus has done, as it has tried to separate people from their church. And how many, if you would be honest with yourself, could agree that some of this is exactly what we need? We need to have a little less focus on ourselves, but yet desire to be closer to the God who created us and have compassion on those that are yet to be saved. Because when the time runs out, there will be no more opportunities. Just as all that have fallen and are now passed away from coronavirus or any other means that led to their death. Because God wants to reach them. And he still wants to have a relationship with each of you. I'm not going to hold this long. I'll leave an opportunity for each to pray as they need to.
Tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship. Shout to the Lord on the earth, let us sing our majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas roar. at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I love you, forever I stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in your bosom. The promise I have in, nothing compares to the promise I have in your bosom.